Next step number 661, and if it wasn't a prime, I would add the 9915. February 4th, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Everybody does it. Somehow, everybody does it. Because that's just the nature of life. You look at life through your eyes. And as you're looking at life, whether it's your eyes, your nose, or whatever way that you look at that life, you have your set of instructions, which are based on the way you were brought up, on your background, on your preferences. And that's how you look at life. Everyone does it. Everyone is a filter in a sense. Everyone is an editor in itself. We all have that editorial privilege. I do it every week, right? I come to you with a podcast, and there's 1,001 things that we could talk about on a podcast. But I have narrowed it down, and I've said that this is about the next step about Armadoxy. I've narrowed it down and said we have to connect dots. That's my editorial privilege, right? That's what I want to share with you. And you as a consumer, you listen to it and you say, well, that sounds good. Or you say it doesn't sound good. And it's up to you whether you want to continue listening. You don't want to listen. You want to support it. You don't want to support it. Completely up to you as the listener, as the consumer. Same way when it comes to written text in magazines, in newspapers, on websites, right? You can read it. You could follow it. And you can respond to it if there's a healthy discussion. Why not? But that's called editorial privilege. The person who produces the material has that privilege of selecting. This is what I want to select. I mean, the gospel writers did it, right? I mean, Jesus had this beautiful ministry of 3 years. What we're listening to, what we're following in the gospels is just a little snippet of it. I mean, we just assume that, you know, today he went and he healed the person who couldn't speak. The next day he went and gave sight to the blind. The next day he lifted up the paraplegic. No, there was 3 years from age 30 to 33 that took place. And we don't know all that 30. We don't know that what he did on the following day. But we are in the hands of the editors, namely Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who are giving us the information, what they think is important for us. That's editorial privilege, right? Matthew writes to the Jews. And so it's very important for him to present Jesus as a fulfillment of Scripture. And so therefore, Jesus does something. And what do you read in Matthew? He did this so that this Scripture could be fulfilled. Basically making a tie between Jesus and the Old Testament prophecy about him. Very important. Why? Because he wanted to get that message out to a specific audience. Editorial privilege. John, writing to the Greek audience who understood philosophy. And so he talks about logo, about the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And these are concepts that, as a Greek, as somebody who studies philosophy and understanding in the Greek mindset, that would make sense, okay? So, you know, editorial privilege. He tailored the message so that it could get across to a certain group of people. Now, what about editorial license? Aha! Now we're getting, this one is getting really scary. And, you know, something happened today that's why I'm bringing all this up. It's very, very scary. In fact, it's very murky waters. Editorial license. That means you have the ability as an editor to take what you want and present it, but not share the entire picture. And license would tell you that you could even doctor up the message. Very scary today, 2021, 21st century, but 2021. We have the technology now to doctor up just about anything. You can take a person, his or her image, his or her a video clip of him or her, and place it inside of an environment. Let's say that person, you put him at the beach, walking on the sand. That person will swear, I have never been to the beach. But looking at this video clip, you couldn't tell. In fact, you'd be hard-pressed. Yes, probably at this point, in what we have, probably a trained eye could tell what's what. But it's not too far off where you won't be able to tell, and you could take that person and put them anywhere. In fact, in my last parish, a couple brothers, they ran virtual reality software, and I would get a big kick. I would get a little bit more chance when, as the parish priest, to go and visit them. Now it's maybe once or twice a year I just go and visit because it's so fascinating for me. And they basically create virtual environments. This is very, very popular today in gaming industry, okay? And you look at a landscape, you look at a world, basically, that doesn't exist in reality. But in front of you, it exists. It's right there. And you can place a person in there. You can have that person talk. And this was one of the latest cutting-edge technologies that they would share with me. You can actually take that person, put the words that you want, because you now have information, inflections on that person's voice, character, how he talks, how he moves, and basically recreate that person in a virtual environment. Now, this was science fiction many years ago, but it's becoming reality. And we get to the point again of what we're talking about today, that editorial privilege versus editorial license. All this I'm saying right now as a preface because something horrendous has happened. Horrendous. We know that a few months ago, the Azerbaijan government attacked the Armenians living in Artsakh. We know that they were backed by the powers of Turkey. Yes, the same Turkey that was responsible for a genocide only 100 years ago. And wanting to finish off what they started 100 years ago, backed the Azeri government and attacked the Armenians. And we know how it ended after, you know, a few thousand casualties on both sides. It ended up with the Azeris claiming land that they had stolen, claiming it as theirs. And we have a world that was looking on, and of course, Armenia not having the political power to really say anything, not having the physical power, the arms power, is kind of like backed off. And what's happening now is we have Azerbaijan, which is, you know, basically a Turkish state. And they have a church there, Christian church, that is run by a Christian bishop. But not just any bishop of any Christian church. The Russian Orthodox bishop. And he gets out, and I want to read to you the preface of an article that appeared in, of all places, a Christian Protestant magazine of the West, namely Christianity Today. It says, Archbishop Alexander, head of the Russian Orthodox Church in Azerbaijan, reached out to CT, We'll talk about that in a few minutes. You know what CT is? Christianity Today. But no. We can't say Christianity Today. Reached out to CT. I'm reading what they've written. They reached out to CT to promote a process of reconciliation. So the Azerbaijans attacked the Armenians. Here we are 2 months later with all these displaced people, with casualties, with humanitarian efforts, and now this Russian Orthodox bishop sitting in the middle of Baku, reaching out, not my words, by the way, words that are written, publicized in CT. Again, that's Christianity Today. You'd never know it, right? Not because it's not written, because of what I'm about to tell you. They reached out to CT. Why? To promote a process of reconciliation. Whoa, that sounds great. Where's the applause? Can we applaud that? Thank you. Take your bows, Russian Orthodox. Take your bows. We get to what we're talking about today. Editorial license. At what point are you free to fabricate information? Now, this bishop sitting there in Baku, Russian Orthodox, is sitting there, and CT, is giving him a platform to talk against, you know who? The first Christian nation. Interesting, right? Editorial privilege? Editorial license? What is in here? What's the reason you're doing? Wait, you're a Christian newspaper, magazine, and now you're supporting something? Wait. What is the reason? Now, the reason why I got wind of this is because actually last year, Christianity Today had gotten so far off of course for me. Again, you remember what I said earlier, and it's what I tell you all the time. You don't want to listen to it, you turn it off. You don't want to read it, don't buy it. Last year, I stopped my subscription to Christianity Today. I found it to be just way off course. Way off course. And in fact, this time I found out why. I mean, it's basically CT. CT, yeah, look at the masthead on the magazine. It's no longer Christianity Today. Actually, it is. Very, very tiny print. If you know anything about font sizes, imagine a CT in 72-point font, and then the words Christianity Today written in 8-point font, okay? That's really what it is. Take a look at it. Actually, I don't want you to. I'm not even going to put the link. You'll get the link. I'm going to put a link to an article because our archbishop over here, thank God, he spotted this. And he wrote a letter to the bishop, to the Alexander who's sitting there. And I want to just share with you a couple thoughts over here. This is what he writes. He writes, responding to your interview in Christianity Today magazine would be considered a waste of time and effort, for it would be replying to an individual who lacks humility, knowledge of history, and attempts to distort uncontestable historical facts. But above all, distorts the truth. Furthermore, your arrogance is quite astonishing for a shepherd of Christ the Lord. You speak of finding ways to live together. We certainly agree that both parties should find ways to live together. Yet, when a country that committed Armenian genocide a century ago by killing 1.5 million innocent Armenians rejects to accept the obvious facts, and in addition to that openly supports Azerbaijan, it is hard to find ways to live together. Moreover, when the same country leads the war operations of Azerbaijan, sends its special forces, recruits thousands of radical Islamists to kill Christian Armenians, it becomes difficult to reconcile. When the leader of that country vows to continue to fulfill this mission, which our grandfathers have carried out for centuries in the Caucasus again, attempts at reconciliation are questions, don't you think? And, you know, it goes on. It's a fantastic little letter back to this man who purports to be a servant of God and distorts the truth. Now, that's what we talk about. Editorial license, editorial privilege. Obviously, Christianity Today, not a stupid organization, right? They've been around for decades. Christianity Today, obviously, with the backing of wealthy people, right? It's not a comic book. It's a decent magazine that comes out. I canceled my subscription last year because it didn't make sense anymore. Didn't make sense as a Christian. This is a magazine that I used to read. I used to subscribe to. Talk about Christian thought. It is a Protestant magazine, but I enjoyed reading the articles. I enjoyed learning about different traditions, different approaches. And yes, I'm not saying that I agreed with everything. Yeah, it was Protestant. It still is. I mean, you know, it's the mindset is there. But when it comes to this, you're not only distorting the facts, you're rewriting history. You're rewriting history. I'll tell you something that I haven't said to anybody yet, because I'm holding it off for an article that I'm writing. When my father passed away, he left an encyclopedia set. 1903 Encyclopedia Britannica. I haven't told this story to anybody. I have a set of 1903 Encyclopedia Britannica that I've kept in my garage. It's in a box. I don't know what I'm going to do with. I've always thought about different things that I could do with it. You know, basically it's archaic. It's old. And today encyclopedias basically are old. You can't do anything. Even if they were 2021 encyclopedia set, right? I don't even know if they publish them because everything is so fluid and everything is changing and they have the opportunity to change immediately. So when this whole thing came out with Azerbaijan and Armenia and contesting, when Azerbaijan was out there talking about, no, these are our lands and everything, I said, okay, you know what? Let me open up my mind and say, what are these people talking about? Is it possible? Is it possible that maybe I, as an Armenian, got the wrong information? And, you know, I wanted to do some research. And you can do all kinds of research out there, right? Because people basically have editorial license, and especially on a place like the internet, you could write anything. And so certainly there was Azeris who were writing things, there were Armenians who were writing things, and everybody has their own filters. Yes, they do. Everybody has their own editors, except for Father Voskin, in this case. Because I possess a 1903 Encyclopedia Britannica. And I remember one night, my son Vodajan had come over, and I said, you know what? We were talking about it, and I said, let's go into the garage and check it out. Now, 1903, you know what's unique about it? It's before the genocide. It's before Stalin had given anything to Azerbaijan. It was before Woodrow Wilson's carving out of the Caucasus and mapping it out and everything. 1903. What would we find in there? So we opened up the A volume. And there was Armenia. Pages and pages about Armenia. This is without a country. There is no country at this time. Armenia was basically in the Ottoman Empire. Right? But there's pages of information. So then we opened up Azerbaijan. There's a half a page article about it. Wow. Wow. Look at that. 1903. I mean, I didn't make this information up. I happened to have an Encyclopedia Britannica. 1903 date. And basically, Azerbaijan doesn't exist. And now we've got somebody, a Russian Orthodox bishop, getting out in a magazine called Christianity Today, talking about this Muslim country that is known, that has a record for annihilation of others, that has a record of no tolerance toward Christians, that has a record of pogroms, of massacres, and even genocide, that is connected with the genocide perpetrators. You have this Russian Orthodox bishop saying, "Hey, Western world, I want you to know what the truth is. And I'm going to filter that truth so that you understand it." Now, what would be the reason why he would want to filter it in that way? Yes, it's the same reason that we've known from day one. I know you know it. Let's take a break right now, okay? And we'll come back and we'll find out what that reason is. I can only laugh right now because it's so sad. It's so sickening that this is what we're up against. That in a day and age like this, there are still opportunities where we can see overtly, people overtly changing reality to suit their needs. Let's take a break right now. We do every week. We play a song of the day. Here's something I'm selecting for today. It gives us a little bit of time to digest what's been said and then get us ready to continue right after the song of the day. Enjoy. I heard this as I was reading through this material in preparation for today's show. I heard this version. It is from the Gomidas State String Quartet. And we were listening to Sarkis Aslamazian featured on the cello. And it just was so calming, as is most of Gomidas's recordings. If you just let it flow, and that's what I felt this did, and I hope you felt it too. Just, it had a calming effect. But it also had just such a simple beauty to it that really celebrates what music is all about. The ability from that simplicity to bring a calming to the soul. And I needed that calming. And I'm sure as we're going through this material together today, you will appreciate a little bit of calming too. Anyway, that is off of the Gomidas State String Quartet album. Sarkis Aslamazian is being featured on the cello. I'll have a link on today's show notes. We are back and we are talking about, well, the filters, about editorial privilege as opposed to editorial license. And the ability for people to be swayed, for people to get information. And this is a bigger problem than we can ever imagine, because we're seeing it across, you know, I'm talking to you about a small little country, Armenia, and basically in the worldview, an insignificant group of people, the Armenians. But imagine on the world stage, and here's the sad part, you don't need to imagine. We saw it played out in American politics. We're seeing it played out in the world as people are trying to figure out and filter what is truth, what is information. You probably heard that Jeff Bezos just stepped down from heading Amazon. He didn't step down. He didn't get out of Amazon. I mean, he's in another capacity. And somebody was making the point the other day that all of the major tech giants have, you know, moved over, whether it's in Microsoft and Bill Gates, whether it's at Google, and now it's at Amazon. And they said that that leaves Mark Zuckerberg at age 36 to be the giant among all of these people, the last holdout. And you think about it, yeah, these were people that started off young, and they were, you know, they were brilliant. They were able to manipulate. They were able to drive. And a lot of it is not because of luck, but they were just hardworking, intelligent people that made choices. And now they are controlling. They're controlling a good share of what information comes across what platforms. And this is nothing new. This is this is part of living in 2021. We basically have lost our privacy. And, you know, you can fight it or you can understand it and live your life accordingly. I mean, this is nothing new. When I said earlier, why did this bishop bend down to these Azeris? What was the reason? It's the same reason you know, I know. It's money. It's money. Why do you think Christianity today would take? It's about money. It's about selling magazines. Let's not fool ourselves. Look, I use Gmail. I don't know what you use. There's people who use Yahoo Mail. There's people who use AOL Mail. There's all kinds of different things. I've been using email since 1988. Yeah. So that, what is that? Makes like 33 years I've been using email. I've found that Gmail is really the way that I like to interact with my email. I get tons of email. It's just a fantastic system. It works for me. Used to use Outlook and so on. And so now I've made a choice. And now I realize, making that choice, Gmail, Google has given me this incredible tool. Am I stupid to think that they are giving me this tool free? Well, it says sign up, get your free email. No, I'm not that stupid. There is nothing free. Did you hear what happened this past week? GameStop, with the stocks going up and up. And one of the driving forces of that was Robinhood. The way people got stocks. And the charm and the draw of Robinhood, especially for a young audience, is that there are no fees to buy or sell stocks. Hey, that sounds good. Now, wait a minute. That's your first tip-off. If there are no fees, they're going to get you some other way, aren't they? Same thing with my email. I know. Same thing with Facebook. Oh, I love connecting with people I haven't seen in years. I love it. You know, it's just like every so often you get it. Now, for that part that I love, I have to also take the part that I hate. People intruding, people coming in. Have you ever written a small little note to somebody and mentioned a preference? Oh, those Dorito chips were great. And guess what? The following day, you get an ad for XYZ chips. Right? What did you buy? Oh, I bought a Ford. The following day, you get an ad. These are the new seats for the Ford, and make sure that you put this in. You know, you realize that you're not getting anything free. There's advertising being done. There's people. And every stroke of your smartphone is being recorded. They know how many times you swipe down, how many times you swipe up. Does that mean you don't use your smartphone? No. It means you kind of factor it all in. And you have to realize where that information is coming from, where it's going. Now, the big problem becomes when giants, such as media giants, start taking advantage of that. And that's what this Russian Orthodox so-called bishop did. I'm saying so-called, and I know that's a horrible value statement, but at some point you realize that, okay, they are now becoming servants of the dollar. And yes, we all do it. I am not going to pretend that money has no value. That's ridiculous. Money does have a value, but to bend away from the justice, now you're getting into what we call the editorial license that is bad for us, that is harming us. There are certain truths. Last week, a pastor friend of mine called. He's the pastor in Glendale, too. I won't mention the church. And he said, I have an appointment to meet with Adam Schiff. He's our congressman over here. And most of you probably know him because of what he did with the impeachment last year. The first impeachment of Donald Trump. But he is known quite well over here. In fact, I have an anecdotal. There's a nice little story. My mom grew up in what we call over here. Her parents were Roosevelt Democrats. And her father had a picture of Franklin Delano Roosevelt on his mantle. And Adam Schiff has been so good. Generous to the Armenian population, generous in the sense that he has stood up for the issues of genocide, and rightly so. Let's be honest too. He's the congressperson for a very heavily populated, perhaps the largest population concentration of Armenians outside of, or here in America. We're talking about American politics right now, right? And he's just incredible. I've met him several times. I've heard many of his speeches. Have a lot of admiration for him. And when my mom heard and said, you know, I really want him, do you think he'll send me a picture? And she wanted a picture for her mantle. You know, because yes, that's what you do. You put up pictures of people that you honor, that you respect. It's like walking in Armenia. You walk to people's houses and there's pictures of Vasken the Catholicos, who was Catholicos over 25 years ago. But people still respect him and they revere him, and he's on the mantle. And my mom wanted a picture of Adam Schiff, so I said, sure, we wrote to him and we got a picture for her mantle. Now, that's just a side note story about him, right? Anyway, very respected person. And this pastor, it was said that I'm going to be meeting with him, and I want to learn a little bit about the Armenian genocide issue. And what we're talking about, because I want to interview him for my parish to share some of the comments, because I know that there are a lot of Armenians living in our area in Glendale. And I said, sure, what can I help you with? He says, I want to know what's going on with the Armenian Genocide Resolution. And I asked him, I said, what does that mean? What does the Armenian Genocide Resolution mean to you? He says, well, I know that it's up for debate as to the genocide, if the United States is going to accept it or not. And I know Adam Schiff has done. So I just wanted to find out from you where it stands. And I couldn't help it. I could not help it. I said, you know what? I'm kind of like, I could care less. And I said, I can't believe that you would be even asking that as a pastor, as somebody who honors truth, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. Somebody who honors that person who says that. How could you even ask this question? Would you ever, ever go up to a Jew and ask, excuse me, where is the Holocaust resolution? Has it been accepted that a Holocaust took place or not? Can you imagine saying that? No, I can't. I can't even imagine it. That's so wild, right? You can't even imagine saying that. Here in America, we have an issue with slavery. Yeah. A few centuries ago, there were slaves. They were brought over from Africa. slaves. No question about it. Now imagine today in 2021 going up to a black guy and saying, excuse me, I wanted to find out, like, where does it stand about the resolution about slavery? Did it really take place? Come on. Come on. But for some reason, Armenians are fair target. Yeah. We want to find out where's the resolution. And I said, I'm sorry, wrong person to talk to. Because, you know, for me, it's a non-issue. What do you mean? I'm going to wait for you to validate my reality? But listen to what we've been talking about today. It's about that validation of reality. It's about that validation of what is truth and the ease with which we bend the truth. And I'm telling you, it's for no other reason except for the mighty dollar, except for the money that these people are getting. And we saw this over and over in our history, people selling out for money. And sure enough, here it is. You've got a Russian bishop sitting in the middle of Baku talking about, yeah, I'm going to reach out to the West. Well, what is his reason for doing so? There is no other reason except for that there's money. There's money to be made. There's an opportunity to be popular with these people. And so I go to Christianity Today to just look it up. And I noticed something that I had never noticed before, and I shared with you earlier. It's the masthead. It's the masthead on top of Christianity Today. I had noticed that several times as I was a subscriber to the magazine too, that it had come down to CT, and I thought that was pretty cool. You know, they were trying to relate to people. People just kind of like want small little ways of, instead of Christianity Today, we're CT. You know, instead of disc jockey, we are a DJ. Instead of the University of Southern California, it's USC. Yeah, it just kind of like flows. Instead of Baronjora, it's BJ. You know, it's like you just know that kind of goes. There's a small little initial, CT. Ooh, that's cool. What do you read? Christianity Today? No, I read CT. Ooh, yeah, CT. That's cool. You know? And I noticed that for the first time that it isn't really about cool. It's about a cover-up. And it is a cover-up that is so sad. It's a reality. You know, for the last several years, I've done work with the YWCA. In Glendale, we've done domestic violence campaigns. Oh, I would say now, but been about 8 or 9 years that we've worked together. And somewhere along the early days, I thought to myself, you know, I know YWCA is Young Women's Christian Association. YMCA is Young Men's Christian Association. That's what YMCA stands for. And by the way, I just found out, I mean, in researching today's show and getting my notes ready, that they're not connected. I always assumed that it was just the women's side of the YMCA. They're not connected at all. They're two different organizations. But several years ago, I found out they got rid of the name. And officially in 2015, the name of the organization changed from Young Women's Christian Association to the YWCA. That's it. YWCA, just like CT, you know. Doesn't matter if it's Christian. It doesn't matter because our work is for all people. That's very commendable. I would say that Jesus would probably sit there and say, yes, my ministry was for everybody. Trust me, that's not the reason why they change it. It's not to gain favors with Jesus. The real reasons are the ones that we all know about. Where's your funding going to come from? Where's the money going to come from? Is somebody going to do that if it says Jesus? Well, there are probably people that will do it because it says Jesus, but there's probably even more people that will give you funding, especially government funding, which cannot play that game. And say that we are one religion over another religion, which I personally believe. I believe that, yes. And to me, and this is in my life, I've had to sadly stand up for this, and I don't mind saying it. In fact, one of the big times we had an opportunity to get funding for domestic violence programs, and one of the conditions was to take off the name of Jesus, to take off Christ. And I was a stickler. I said, you know what? We'll get private funding. Yeah, nobody can stop you from getting private funding. They just can't, you know, they just can't give it from the government, which is fine. See, now I've come to terms with that reality. I'm not going to fight that because I don't believe in it. Yes, the government belongs to everybody. Can't say it's Christian, can't say it's Muslim, can't say it's Jewish. It can't say anything about religion. That's the way our government's set up. And I believe that. And so I shouldn't have an obligation from that government to fund anything that I do so long as I put that Christian name on it. That's fine with me. It's not for everybody. And so there are ways to get around it. And I think we've found a few ways that have taken place right now. I'm bringing this all up. Why? Not because I'm about politics, not because I'm strictly talking about a religious understanding of our life. And to realize that all religion, all faiths, everything that we get is through somebody's filter. Somebody has decided that's the information that you need to hear today. And that's editorial privilege. I exercise it. Everyone else exercises. There's probably other things that I could have talked about today for today's podcast. This is what I wanted to talk about. That as the editor, as the producer, as the head of this show, this is what I've decided that we're going to be talking about. Now, you're free to take it. You're free not to take it. You're free to maybe even argue it. I know I get letters from people that say, oh, you know, yeah, that's fine. You know, good. It gets your blood curdling and whatever you want to do. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't like this show, you turn it off. Don't download it. Don't listen to it. If you do like it, you've gained something. And that's how we've got to take our lives. We've got to understand there are certain fundamentals that cannot be compromised. Among them is our relationship with Christ. It's interesting that I brought up this topic today, because next week is that challenging week for us in the Armenian Church. It is the week that we commemorate Vartanants. And Vartanants is exactly about this situation. At the end of the day, where is your loyalty? What do you stand up for? The story of Vartanants, I'm not going to get into it for this podcast. I've done several shows on it, and yeah, if we can, we'll put a link on it. It's not about Vartanants that I'm talking about. I'm talking about our ability to sift out what doesn't belong, to understand how everything is processed, how we receive it. I'm not looking today to say this is right, this is wrong. I'm looking to share with you a realistic way of looking at life in the 21st century, to understand that it's all coming to us filtered, that there are prices that you have to pay. From as simple as email, if you want to use email, realize that they're going to be, well, if you want to use a public email system, realize that somebody's going to be making some profit off of it somehow. And they do. If you're going to be using social media, they're not giving it to you free. They're giving it to you at a cost where you have to give a bit of your information. If you're fine with that, and I'll tell you, honestly, I am with that. There's certain information that I give out. There's information that I don't want to give out. We make a practice of this is the information I don't. It took me a while to understand this. This isn't just overnight. It's, you know, we've been on social media platforms since the late 90s. Yeah. With some obscure things. You probably, things that don't even exist today, like whether it's MySpace, or we even had a place called My Church. In fact, the In His Shoes Ministry, we started off with My Church. There was a My Church website. We would share a lot of the stuff. In fact, I'll have to, Susie, you'll have to correct me on this, or give me the background on this, but I do believe that the next step, some of the files, the early files of Next Step might have evolved from the My Church website where it was. Anyway, long story. But we have evolved, right? So along the way, we've come to an understanding. And today what I want to share with you is that even those that purport to be Christian, that wear their nice little uniforms and tell you that we are an Orthodox Christian, are being side-saddled by that most powerful God of all. The one that allows people to betray even their principles. Money. And so I want to leave you today with this little passage. And its passage goes for all of us. Yeah, I leave you, but a passage from our Lord Jesus Christ that applies to all of us. I don't want to pretend that it doesn't pertain to me. It pertains to everyone. I think this is what we need to do in the Christian church, is take a strong evaluation of who we are, what we're doing, and why we're doing it. And it comes down to this. This is from Matthew chapter 10. Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven." That's it. Now you can put whatever seriousness you want to it. You could ascribe whatever you want to believe to it. But it's pretty plain, isn't it? You can be Christian or you can be a C. Right? Right, you could just be a C. That's fine. I don't want to play the judgment on anybody, you know. There are a lot of people who are C's and very good people, I know that. There are a lot of people who are Christian and they're very bad people, right? I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just sharing with you a little insight, because today we have somebody who pretends to be a Christian and is not even a C, but is somebody who has taken the truth and manipulated. And I don't think there's a spot for this kind of person anywhere. Not in the Christian, in the C world, but in our world. It's time that we start understanding that we have to be truthful and honest with what has happened. In the past, there's some horrible things that have happened. Today, those things continue unless we recognize them and bring them to an end. Here is Susie. She's got a lot of energy for a young lady, doesn't she?
Susie here again, popping in to say thank you to you, our listeners. We are thankful for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. We are grateful to be able to touch so many lives and create lasting friendships. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world and look forward to your continued support. Thank you and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. I appreciate it. And thank you to all of you who listen and give me this special opportunity to share some things that are very personal to me, that are very real. I have a lot of things going on right now, and I appreciate all of your prayer and support for this ministry. To be honest with you, this few minutes that we're together is such an important part of my life. I look forward to it every week, and I love to hear from you when you tell me that you look forward to it as well. It's a ministry that we share together. It's just an exchange of ideas. I hope and pray that it is helpful for you in your walk with God, in your spiritual growth. We have a weekend this weekend where we're going to be commemorating Vartanants. We're going to be commemorating Revontians all together, because usually we do this during the week on special days, Vartanants on Thursday, Revontians on Tuesday. But because of the pandemic, we're bringing it all together on Sunday. I am honored that I've been asked to celebrate the Divine Liturgy on that day at the Armenian Cathedral in Los Angeles, in Burbank. And that is the Sirpots Revontians. And it will be streamed. It is on the Facebook page of the Western Diocese. So if you're up to it, and I hope you are, that'll be Sunday morning, 10:30 Pacific time. You can follow our stream. Likewise, letting you know that we're doing a few productions over the weekend, and this will be for some of the newer audiences, new mission parishes. But with that in mind, on February 14th, which is Diarantarach, we will be broadcasting the Divine Liturgy celebrated by His Eminence Archbishop Povnon. And because it was so popular at the beginning of the year, we did it at New Year, I will be providing simulcast explanation. And this time I'm going to go a little bit more, going to be adding more to those explanations, a little bit more theological. Please follow along and you'll be able to see simulcast with the Divine Liturgy taking place, explanations coming out your way. February 15, we start Lent in the Armenian Church, goes on all the way till Palm Sunday, and of course Holy Week. It's another cycle. It's a great opportunity for you to come together and find your spiritual walk with God during the Lenten season. And finally, March 6th, please put that on your calendar. You will not want to miss the Reclaim Conference this year. It's called Reclaiming Our Faith in a Post-Pandemic World. It's going to be fantastic. And it's going to be all virtual. So you will be able to watch. You will be able to listen no matter where you are in the world. And I'm offering it to you first, the Next Step listeners. Well, that does it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Love to hear from you. I'm at feedback@epostle.net. I want to also steer you to our social media pages and, of course, to the mothership, inhisshoes.org. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, and I've got to get it out quickly because Susie celebrates a birthday tomorrow. Make sure that we hit the deadline today. So on behalf of Susie, our producer, happy birthday, and Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.